Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth, as always. And we are here today. This is exciting, so I'm going to purposely sound not excited. Sorry, double negative. I am purposely going to tone myself down a bit because usually I get so excited, I'm rambling, I'm saying and I'm saying ah, and then I get my producer saying you said and ah too much. And so before we bring in our guests, I'm going to mention that this is a exciting episode for us. We've been wanting to do this for a while. I met this filmmaker. Again, this episode is for The Visit, also for the Catalina Film Festival. We're going to talk about an award that this director and her team and the film recently won. So it is a Catalina. We're going to file it as a Catalina episode. But met this director at CineQuest, saw her and her collaborator at Sunscreen, and then they were kind enough to say, hey, we're playing this festival in Catalina, and maybe it's close to you. And it turns out that Catalina is like 5 miles from me, and I can see Catalina from the pier when I go for walks on the pier. So it was an all-around just great, good time. So with that, after I guess we've been waiting since March, I'd like to welcome to the show Romina. Are you with us?
Hi. Yes. Hi, Paul. Hi, everybody.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. Now, I, for some reason, feel like I'm always pronouncing your name wrong, so if you could tell us so I don't pronounce it wrong.
No, you say it very well, actually. It's Romina Schwedler.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, I'm a couple of times I've had some names, and there's been like a syllable off, and the people call me up, and I had no ill intent to pronounce your name wrong. That wasn't my why.
No,
I woke
no,
up
I
smart.
I would have told you in advance. I heard you pronounce my name many times already. So.
Okay. That's good to know. So basically, we have a whole list of questions here, and for new listeners and people that have listened to the show, change, evolve a little bit. We, of course, set up our list of questions, but then we like to go where the show goes and go where the guest takes us, so we're not A, B, C, D, and we can't go off of that path. So my first question is, first question, what was your goal, aside from to complete a first feature? What was your goal with The Visit, whether it be your goal with the storyline or your goal with its intention? What was your filmmaker? What kept you going?
It's a short film, so it's not a first feature. I don't know if that's what you meant. As far as a director, for me, I had directed two commercials before, two spec commercials. I come from being an actress. And I always had myself on these commercials. Like, it was partly I wanted something, you know, like how I got started as a director really is that, like, I thought of this idea for a commercial and I said, oh, this would be great to put on my reel. And I went and shot it, but I wasn't completely conscious of the fact that I was actually directing. So I was just getting it done, you know, and it was kind of by accident. And then, you know, after I did it, I loved it. And I was like, oh, then, you know, I have this other idea and this other one, and I want to do this and I want to do that. And so when I came up with the idea for The Visit, I really felt it as this is going to be my first, like, conscious directing project that, you know, like, I wanted to go all out and really do my first short film, not for the purpose of having something else to show as an actress, but just, you know, for directing. And I thought this, you know, the story that came to me, it was very, it was one of those things that you feel like, I have to get this done. You know, it's not one of those things to put on a shelf or to say, oh, someday, whatever. No, I just had to get it done. So, I felt that was my my next step as a director. Like, I wouldn't want to go straight into a feature. I mean, I know some people do it, but for me, I felt that it was the next step. And also the story that came to me really was a short story. It's not like I thought of the feature and then, you know, let's make a short to promote the feature. It was not like that. It was a short story all along. So, yeah.
Okay, well, that leads us into, and then that'll lead, that sets up the next question perfectly. Might as well tell us, because we didn't start, and I sometimes get so excited that I forget to start. Why don't you just give us the brief synopsis, the director's version?
Oh, I have many ways of telling the synopsis, actually, because, like, you know, for people that are going to see it, for people that are not going to see it, for people that just that already saw it and they want me to tell them, like, what, you know, what I want the audience to feel and all these things, I'm always scared that I'm going to give too much away because I want people to be surprised when they watch it. But it's so Ben, who is played by Sean Maher, I called him Sean Maher from the very beginning, but it's Sean Maher is the proper way to pronounce it. His character gets an unexpected request for a visit with his mother, played by June Squibb, the wonderful June Squibb as well. The visit is basically following that encounter between them and as the afternoon unfolds and all the things that get revealed and ultimately in the end a very unsettling truth gets revealed having to do with that's pretty much it.
Now did you have since we're going into people that have seen it and haven't, can you mention any next festivals so people know that there's still a chance to see it?
Yes. So next up we have Orlando Film Festival, where we'll be playing there at the 24th and the 25th of October. Simultaneously, we're in Florence, Italy, the Florence Short Film Festival on the 25th, I believe. The 25th. And then we are at Kansas International. Oh, we have our New York premiere at Big Apple Film Festival. Actually, you're getting the premiere of this announcement because I haven't made the official announcement yet. So we're going to be doing our New York premiere, which is very exciting to us because we shot the film in New York, and we have lots of cast, crew, fans, friends, family that are eager to go and watch the film on the big screen. So that's the Big Apple Film Festival, November 3rd at SBA Theater, 6:45. And then we have also Kansas International, November 5th, and St. Louis International on November 11th. And that's as much as I can announce at this point.
Well, I can tell you from my travels, maybe it's getting cooler. Orlando is like going to Astana. Kansas, unless it's closer to Kansas City, is a beautiful, but just in the middle of farm area. And again, these are my opinions, not Romina's. I definitely, obviously, you're not going to miss the Big Apple. But what was the other one? I'm sorry, what was the other one you mentioned? Because you mentioned another one of a city I've been.
St. Louis International.
Oh, I was okay. So St. Louis, as I say, obviously go there, as we all know in the business. That's an Oscar qualifying festival, so that gets a lot of good content. St. Louis, yeah. The arch is beautiful. You have to see it once. And the cool thing about St. Louis.
I'm so excited about St. Louis. I mean, I'm excited about all these festivals. Sometimes it's difficult to be able to go to all of them, and it's been a struggle because it's been, you know, a lot of festivals, and sometimes they're simultaneous. And it's crazy. And that's, by the way, that's how I lost my voice. I hope my voice is carrying all right on your
fine. No, it's carrying fine. Okay. But with St. Louis, I tell people they got to see the arch. But what's really cool about St. Louis that some people don't know is that arch is right across the river is Illinois. So some people who like to travel and have never been to different states, you can actually just go across a little bridge and you're in another state. So whenever I go to St. Louis, I like to go have dinner in Illinois. So a little pointless trivia fact for you film fans out there. If you ever want to, same thing like New York, New Jersey, or Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas, they're a mile apart. But it's always fun to be somewhere and go to a different state for dinner. But St.
That's
Louis,
awesome.
I would definitely say seeing that arch is just something else. It is just so amazing. So let's see. Casting.
That's great. That's great. I'll write that down.
yeah, it's, you know, just so beautiful. People take it as just, oh, it's some arch sitting in the middle of St. Louis or the middle of nowhere, but to stand under it is just really amazing. You can actually go up in it, but I heard it got really expensive. And of course, the Mississippi River has so much American history. Let's see, you mentioned being an actor, and so I'm always interested in actors who go into casting. Obviously, you have to kind of leave yourself at the door, not leave yourself at the door, but you're there as a director. I know you've gotten every June Squibb question from, does she dye her hair? but because you mentioned being an actor, I have to ask this question. What it's like to, I'm thinking, if I'm an actor and I'm going to direct a short film, what is it like to go, okay, I'm an actor, I'm directing for the first time, so I think I'm going to pick one of the current Oscar nominees to literally be acting for me, with me, and I'm going to be directing this actor who Alexander Payne was just directing her. So how does that play into the creative process of someone who's jumping into the pond?
Well, I try not to think about those things because there's many things that you can think of that will completely paralyze you like that. If I start thinking, yeah, Alexander Payne directed her, oh my goodness, you know. But I had her in mind for the role. Like when I was writing it, I had just seen Nebraska. She was so amazing in it. And after I saw Nebraska, I just couldn't get her out of my mind. Like she was the one saying the lines in my head. So I felt that the next step for me was try to contact her. And I did. I contacted her agent and you know, I didn't hear back. I learned later that, you know, they were moving offices at the time and all that stuff. So, but then I happened to, this was very serendipitous, I always say, because I had one of my commercials that I had directed, as a micro short film, I had it nominated for an award at the Burbank International Film Festival. And out of all people in the world, she was going to be the presenter of that award. So when I learned that, it was like one thing led to another. You know, first I thought of her, then I'm put in the same room with her, basically, like, am I not going to approach her, you know, like, so, you know, I actually handed her the script in a flash drive, and I know a lot of people say I'm not supposed to do this, but how else am I supposed to do this?
Sometimes you just got to go for it. I mean, that's the deal.
Yeah.
There is that factor of you just got to go, hey, I'm here, and whatever. So, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. But she was so nice, so welcoming, so gracious. You know, she took the drive. She promised that she was going to read the script. And a few weeks later, I had an email from her saying that she really liked it and she would commit to it. That, you know, we had to talk some details on schedule and all that stuff. But she made herself available and she was amazing to work with. So when she said yes, I really couldn't believe it. I thought actually that email was a joke from a friend or something.
I'm going to set up alpacino at gmail.com and message you later. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was too good to be true. I was like, this can't be happening. But it did. And she was just so nice. And so she made me feel like she was not this big star, you know. I saw her as a person. The way we spoke after that on the phone, and she was so down to earth. So committed to her work, you know. Like the first time I went into her dressing room, when, you know, we were actually finally on set, I saw her script all spread out on the table full of notes. And I always remember that moment because I felt like it just caught me, you know, and I just, you know, felt her taking this work so seriously, and it was really touching. And she was delightful to work with, really. So I had also, when you're on set, of course, you're concentrating, you have so many things on your mind and things that you have to get done that there's no time for, you know, thinking, oh, you know, this is Toon's Cliff, this is Shamir, this is, you know, like you have to get the work done, you have to concentrate on your work. And that's how I got through it.
Well, no, that's fantastic, because I have a friend who is a key department head and player on Nebraska, and just told me how fantastically nice she was, and of course that was before she got blown up back into the world with her Oscar nomination. And you know, we know as filmmakers and film lovers that we know these great actors who are great and they don't need the Oscar nomination, and then all of a sudden that comes out and the whole world acts like they've discovered, you know, I think of J.K.
Yes.
Simmons. It's like, you know, he was this awesome actor before Whiplash. Whiplash just kind of finally really showed the world. And so it's like, that's how I felt. I mean, I loved June Squibb and About Schmidt because it was like, she just played this perfectly annoying wife, even though she's only in the movie like 15 minutes, but it was like, I've heard that wife in the supermarket. I'm not being sexist. I've seen that just annoying. They have, like, that scene is so poignant when he says she always has to pull her keys out of the car 15. And I see those women at the store walking for 20 feet with their keys. And it's, and again, I'm not being sexist. Men are stupid too. But I just love the way I remember loving her from About Schmidt. And then not seeing her in many things. So Nebraska was only special for me because I got to see her again. So when I saw your film, it was like, yes, independent films are using her, and it's not just the studio system. So I really appreciated that. And then, because as we both know, and I won't say it on air, had I not went up to you, we wouldn't have had some other wonderful things in our life happen. So I wanted to use this as something for filmmakers out there to really take what Romina said about just seizing the moment and approaching someone. Now, don't get me wrong, if there's four bodyguards around, don't just go walking up to Al Pacino. But you do have to kind of seize the moment, because this film is special to me because it's given myself some things that I'm not going to mention on air that wouldn't have happened. And so the kind of love and spirit behind the film has kind of led to other things. And I think that's the most important thing a film can do, is give to its artists, its team, and its audience members. So with that, I'll go into, before we plug your social media, I've always been interested in, especially since I've had the good fortune to see it a few times, I've always been interested in how many drafts of the script you did.
A million and one.
A million and one. Okay. Perfectionist on board. All right.
I feel, and you'll hear a lot of people say this, but the final rewrite is in the editing room. But I've gone through so many. I really don't even know. But it's grown, and it's changed so much from the first idea. And sometimes you have a first draft and you're like, wow, this time I got it like solid on the first one. And even when you feel that, it's like 2 weeks later, you have a completely like evolved, a different, you know, changed story, and it just becomes more more pure and more eloquent. Those rewrites are so important, even if you feel like you got it right on the first draft. Because if you got it right in the first draft, then you'll get it, you know, even better on the second one and the third one. And sometimes, time passes and some things mature in your head without even you thinking about it. You know, sometimes some things just need time, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, that scene doesn't even need to be there, you know, and you can't, when you're pushing
right.
And you're just, sometimes it needs a little time. And the same thing, exactly the same thing with the editing, you know, you have the final cut and you're like, wow, okay, it's done. And then 3 weeks later, I'm like, oh, well, this shot is redundant. This part here, you know, this could be broken up into, you know, different style of editing, or, you know, and these are things that you have to stay with. You have to be obsessed with your project, basically, I feel, because a lot of the rewrites came from obsession. Like, okay, I'm going to read it again and see if there's something else that can be improved. And there's always something else.
Oh, of course. So. Yeah. No, there's never, I don't believe, I respect if someone says that, I don't believe there's such thing as a perfect first draft. And also with that, whether you want to call it picture lock and there's never sound lock. I don't believe there should ever really be picture lock, other than you have to get something done and you have to eventually walk away. But
yeah, I feel locks are deadlines. You could eternally rewrite, and you could eternally edit. You know, it's never like, okay, now it's done. Because I'm at the theater watching the film, and I'm like, oh, you know, that little something there could be tweaked. You know, like, I'm still like looking for those little things that could be improved, and something could, like, eternally be improved. It's just at some point you have to move on to the next thing, and you have deadlines, and you have, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, because at the end, you don't want to overdo it, you know, and or potentially lose something in the recut where you took that out and then went, wait a minute, that was, I am fortunate, since we know from talking that my career has been on the producing side, so I'm not high enough up on the food chain to tell a director what to do. So I've always kind of been at the feet of the director thinking he's right, and only having a little bit of room to say, well, okay, you can do that, but, this is my seventh film and that didn't work five of the six times. But, so you're lucky to be in that position, because I know the only short film I did direct, I was, of course, had the final say, but I also enjoyed the being able to say to my editors, hey, I might be totally off base here, or telling my producers, you know, this feels really good to me, but if it doesn't feel good to you and we wrote it and produced it, then I don't just want to be the only one in the room that feels good. So it's always an interesting process for filmmakers out there, listeners. Know that it's not just two people sitting at a computer and then all of a sudden 18 hours later they have the film. With that, we will go into our wonderful director plugging all of the social media for the film.
Oh, okay, thank you. So the hashtag on all Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is The Visit Short Film. And I know it's a little long, but if we said The Visit, there's a, you know, a bunch of other things going on with just The Visit. So
yeah, there is. Yeah, on the Internet Movie Database, there's some The Visit. Yeah.
And there's the Shyamalan feature, The Visit, and there's other things having to do with politics that are The Visit, you know, and it's just not. And then The Visit Short, not everybody could tell it's a film, so. So we did The Visit Short Film, and there's a lot of information on all the festivals that we've been going to, pictures and awards and all that good stuff. And then if you would like to like our Facebook page, also where things are announced, we'll announce there whenever we go on VOD and all of that, and we announce the festival screenings. That's at The Visit Short on Facebook, The Visit Short.
Business short. Okay, that's
yeah.
It's good that you got all that social media going. I know. I know we have ours. I know we were gonna launch ours, but the wonderful island of Manhattan had to do its thing. With that, is there anything that you want to mention? Because we were talking and I passed the question before I go into my next question. Just in making a short film for anyone, they got to have the right cinematographer who can move along and who can get the look they want. Is there anything you'd like to comment on your cinematographer relationship or how what
oh,
that was
yeah,
like
absolutely.
Doing your first short?
Well, I was lucky enough to have an amazing cinematographer who also happens to be my significant other.
okay.
So, and this is Alan J. Carmona. He's so talented, so supportive as well. And, you know, sometimes when your boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse, you know, like you're working together, it could be hell or it could be heaven. There's no in between.
Right.
And in this
True.
Case, it really was heaven, you know, it was really, really good. We worked a lot. You know, sometimes, I tend to be a little obsessive and I'm like 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, what do you think of this shot? You know, so that sometimes during pre-production, but when we were on set, it was really, we had done so much pre-production that, that's what I take out from it because I'm not always going to, you know, have the chance to work with him. You know, how important pre-production is because when we were on set, it really made us feel very secure. Everything that, of course, there's always stuff that, you know, unexpected stuff that can happen, but you minimize that, you know, to doing as much pre-production as you can. And we did that. So we felt very comfortable on set. There was no, everybody wants to know, like, were there fights? Were you guys like drama, this and the no? No, we were concentrating on work. And yeah, when we're on set, you can't even tell that we are related, you know, so that we're together. So, we had a really good time. And aside from that, he's so talented and, a lot of people, most people watch the film. This one of the first things they comment on how beautiful the cinematography was. So I'm very proud of the work he did and, on, you know, how we, you know, talked about, you know, my vision and how he interpreted and how like his suggestions and all that stuff. So it was a very, very good, also a very good learning process for me as well.
Well, that's fantastic because yes, it can definitely be the opposite. As I think I told you guys, the only thing I directed, I co-wrote and co-produced with my significant other, and the work part was fantastic, but it definitely seeped over and was a huge burden on the relationship because for the exact reason you were saying of we don't need to be talking at 3 a.m. about the script and it's breakfast. Can we just enjoy breakfast together and not be talking about, you know, this idea of this production problem that we can't solve till 10 a.m. anyways, and it's 7, so let's just enjoy our pancakes. But yeah, you know, there's people out there that if you don't know to direct a film, you kind of have to be obsessive and crazy, and you kind of have to be in that space. There's not really, I mean, yeah, enjoy life, you know, see your grandparents, go for a walk, but when it really comes down to it, if you're not, the films you see are basically, and I'm not making fun because I have my own mental issues, but they're basically OCD people with a script. So you've never seen a finished film that's not someone who's been an insane person for months or years because it's just what it dictates. So I love hearing that if there was something you were doing at 4 a.m. And your cinematographer, since I've met him at festivals, so mellow, not saying you're not, So that's an interesting, you know, you can just tell in the work.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part. What did you say?
Your cinematographer is so mellow from the times I've met him that I'm not you're not, but that yin yang would be a perfect thing for the work, and you can see it in the work where the subject matter dictated the seriousness, but it's shot so simply. So the way you just explained that, it makes total sense. Let's see.
Yeah.
You've had quite the festival run, and I have some stuff on the page, and of course we want people to visit the website. But my two questions are, lesson-wise, so you're not singling out a festival or mentioning a festival, it's a two-part question. What lesson or part of a festival, other than the party and getting to go to new places, what have you enjoyed most as a filmmaker about a festival that was a lesson for you or a new experience?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, throughout this whole festival circuit, I'm just in awe of this whole experience has been so intense for me and for us. And, you know, just getting to know places that I would have never even thought of, you know, to travel to, meeting amazing people. And it's just incredible how, you know, in different parts of the world, you bump into people that are like, it's like this film family, you know, that you meet people that are so much alike and that go through the same challenges and that are experiencing these festivals in such similar way that's just very, very therapeutic, because we all go through so much crap, you know, and so many challenges day to day, and just, you know, the films that, like, I heard somebody say one time, like, no film ever wants to get made, you know, and so you're fighting against everything. And so to be at these festivals celebrating the craft and celebrating each other and independent film, it's really such a party, you know, all together. That then, yeah, of course the parties are great. Then you have workshops. We were just recently at the Catalina Film Festival. We had this amazing summits and you know, opportunities to learn. Some festivals have that, and it's really a gift, you know, to us, because we get to learn the industry and sometimes hear, you know, amazing panelists or like this time we had, we met at the previous festival, at K-Film, screenwriter extraordinaire, Jim Hart, who also was at Catalina, giving a masterclass lecture, and he was amazing. And these are memorable things, you know, that you take with you, things that you learn, and then just how you bond with people. And it's always the last day at the festival is always like last day of camp, you know, because you're there for like even 3-4 days, and you become so close with these people, and you've spent every hour of the day watching films and going to parties and going to these workshops and mixers and having breakfast together. And so then you never know if you're going to see each other again. So it's very intensive. And luckily there's social media where you kind of stay in touch, but of course it's not the same.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, and CineQuest where we met, and again, Catalina Film Festival is fantastic. I met so many great staff. So many great PR reps. It was so wonderful of you guys to invite me there. I mean, CineQuest, I was there 48 hours, and I think it's 7 or 8 people I'm still in touch with, and one or two I work with now. And so, yeah, these film festivals are very – and if you get the right film festival for audience, you know, I meet a lot of audience who goes, oh, well, I don't have a badge, and the volunteer wouldn't let me in. Well, there's been a big change in the last couple of years where filmmakers want to hear what you think. And audience has this tendency to see filmmakers and walk the other way, but they don't get that you're their litmus. And some filmmakers, I guess for myself, I've always been this way. I've had a guest on twice for her Amazon Prime releases, and at my very first film festival, she was a volunteer. And had I been one of those people who said, I don't talk to volunteer or audience, now we're good friends, now we play the same festivals together. And it all just came from me being willing to be like, hey, she's being nice to me, I'm going to be nice to her. And so please know that, yes, you're going to meet your arrogant filmmakers, you're going to meet your filmmakers who won't talk to audience, but then you're going to meet filmmakers who really do appreciate that you saw their film, and who knows, maybe they're going to play another town that you're in. And there's kind of not really a rule. I think there's just this thing that's been created where audience thinks they're not allowed to go within 100 feet of filmmakers. And I've found, especially being in the middle as press, that sometimes it's completely the opposite. So please, people know that film festivals are supposed to be for everyone to enjoy. It's just those few filmmakers that take it to their head and think they're the king of the room and no one can come within 100 feet of them. Let's see. Catalina Film Festival, we thank you for this because although Romina, her cinematographer, Alan, and I had known each other and the premise was I got invited to this festival, but you guys did such a fantastic job. All the venues were so close, walking distance. If there's anything before I go into my last two questions that I ask every guest, is there anything you would like to say about Catalina as a filmmaker? Anything just brief about your experience or how you felt the festival was for you?
Oh, well, the festival, I know people know that I can't shut up about it because it was just so amazing, you know, and there are some festivals on the circuit that you go to that are good, and some of them are, you know, you'd rather not even talk about them, and some of them blow you away, and Catalina definitely was one of those, and it was just, they took such great care of us, and you can tell right away when a festival really values the filmmakers, you know. Some festivals are too concentrated on, you know, which celebrity showed up and this and that, and
right.
Don't get me wrong, Catalina gets you know, the celebrities, and they get everything. It's not because they don't have that, you know, like they're an amazing high-class festival and high-level festival, but they really prioritize the filmmakers, and that makes a huge difference, because from the moment we get there, we were pampered, and we were, you know, they drive us around in the little carts, you know, in the island, and they have these parties for us, and wonderful food, and all these venues, and the summits, like I mentioned before, and it's just everything is like film heaven, you know, in there. And for us, you know, we're not used to have life come that easily for us, you know, so there's always.
Right.
So it really was an amazing out of this world experience. And then the venue where the awards were announced, you know, this amazing historic theater, the Avalon Theater, where the first, you know, talking movies were ever played. It's just to be there in this temple of history, you know, it was very, very special. So, and just team was just so friendly and so great. So we still have the Catalina blues.
Oh, yeah, I love it, the Catalina blues. Well, I know I met some people coming over on the ferry, and they made sure I got a ride to the office in one of those nice Mercedes vans instead of just leaving me as find the press office yourself. They actually took me to my hotel, and it was a block away, and I felt so lazy because I didn't know it was a block away that it took more time to wait for a golf cart and look at a map that I just thought, my gosh, you guys didn't just say, like, it's a you know, I have a belly, but I'm not that overweight. It's like I can make it a block. And so I was just like, wow, this festival, like, really was going out of their way. I mean, honestly, I felt like I was a special guest. And that's what I loved about the festival was they were treating everyone like it was it wasn't just the Lifetime Achievement Award winner. Now, the last thing before we go into our questions, our last two questions, we're talking about this historic theater, and other than that, I'm sure it was a great highlight to see your man in a wonderful suit. What was the special highlight of the evening for you?
Well, the whole evening was really just so special. Like I think it was the night where I couldn't be happier just to be, you know, the last night with all these wonderful people that we had met throughout the festival. And this theater really was such an experience. We couldn't take our eyes off of these walls and just feel being there, you know. And then, well, an unexpected thing happened because I really wasn't thinking about it or anything, but we actually won the U.S. Short Film Award of Excellence. And that was also a highlight because we were just, you know, enjoying the award ceremony. We didn't even know that category was coming up, and we weren't even thinking about whether or not we were going to win. We were just so happy to be there. So that was, you know, like the cherry on top, that amazing experience. So, yeah, to be up on that stage was something I will never forget.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's, you know, and of course, I was only there 2 days, and this is not off the record, but I call your significant other, I call him the... well, first of all, because he's a nice guy, my accountant does love him, but I call him the budget raiser of Talking Pictures because every time I have a conversation with him, our monthly budget goes up. And and
funny.
So when he was like, yeah, man, stay 2 nights. And I was like, you're like the only person that I would stay 2 nights for, but hotels went from $200 to $400. Now, of course, had the show had it, I would have stayed, but I was like, you know what, $800, no, I could travel to 3 other states. But I just laugh because it's always just that pure intention that he has, and it's not to toot his own horn or... But I just laugh because he just, the second I hear him say, hey, think about this, I go, oh, here we go. The pocketbook's gonna, you know, he makes me think of somebody who's like, he's the director and I'm the financer, and it doesn't benefit him, but it's like, so, but I always appreciate that because the way he's raised my budget has definitely helped the company in invaluable ways. So
right.
It's not just like a senseless. So our last two questions, of course, everybody on the show gets is, so I give you perfect budget. Of course, the script works. You have your choice of cast and you have all the things you need. What is the one dream genre that you want to do?
Wow. I would say psychological thriller.
Psychological thriller. Okay. That's interesting because most people say sci-fi or thriller. So I'm intrigued by these questions. Okay, so psychological thriller. Now, the next question is just the reverse. The script's great, things are great, but you haven't eaten in a week, you haven't paid bills, you're ready to have to start thinking about that Burger King job, but there's no way you're directing this film, and it's not because the script, it's not because the casting, but there's no way you're putting your name on this film, and so that's the question. Genre you would never do.
Well, genre I would never do even if I was starving.
Yeah, starving, they're taking your car away, eviction notice. You're not putting your name on this genre.
I guess a pornographic film.
Oh, you know what? You know, you guys, you filmmakers are, your this question might die because, you know, 9 of 10 said pornography. 1 said something else, and I said, "I love you. You didn't say pornography." And she said, "It was my first thought. I just didn't say it." So I thought I had these two cool questions where I've been. First, I thought the question sucked because all I got was sci-fi. Then I started getting different answers. So I thought, okay, this is cool. And then someone didn't say porn. So I thought, cool, I'm going to save it. But then they thought porn. So I think maybe these questions
will. So what did
will...
she say? I'm curious. What did she say, the one that did not say porn?
Oh, it was like torture horror films, like where the victim is being tortured. And I thought that's a great answer because that's gross. And that, of course, you wouldn't want to do that. And I said, oh, you didn't say porn. And she goes, oh, no, that was my first thought. So, man.
That's funny. That's really
funny. You guys are killing my mojo here. Yeah.
Like, as a director, I would always want to make something work. Like, even if it's a genre that's not my favorite or that I'm not inclined to, whatever, I'm like, okay, I have to make this work. I'm a director. I have to put my vision into it and make it into something that that I actually would watch, you know? But then when you get into that other category, it's like, yeah, you don't want to dirty up your name, and like, it's not something that, you know, inspires me anyway, like, to do that kind of work.
Well, maybe that's a sub question, because someone said they're up to try any genre, and then they actually said the only reason why they wouldn't try that was because they know it dirties up your name or ruins your career. So I can't put people on the spot and say, would you direct a porn? You're just concerned about your name, because that's way too obtrusive and makes you sound weird. So, yeah, I guess maybe that question
everything.
Might just
it's
die.
Just, yeah. I
so
think
thank
there's
you
many
for killing
reasons
my
why
question.
You wouldn't want to do it. Pardon?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, thank you for killing my question. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
You know, no, it's all good because it's been in the making. But I really wanted, I was, you know, when I started the question, I thought this is cool because I'm going to get, they never, well, actually the person, sorry, there was one other person. They said rom-com Hallmark movies. And they said I would never want to.
For never?
Yeah, for never. They would never want to make a Hallmark movie. Those cheesy movies that are always on at Christmas. The woman, it's always that the woman loses her job and then Mr. Charming. Yeah, so it's like that typical genre where you know how it ends. There's no way to twist it. I love your boyfriend, but before he calls me and punches me out and say, why are you talking about too much porn? We'll wrap it up at there. Again, all the opinions and mentions of things of talking pictures are that of the host. Anything Romina says is her opinion. Of course, we thank you for joining us today. As you know, has an associate, new friend, and has talking pictures. We wish the visit the best, and we know you'll keep us updated as to how it does. And our whole team just wanted to say thank you for stopping by today to talk about the film.
Thank you, Paul. I wanted to thank you and Talking Pictures as well for all the support you have given us throughout this festival circuit. You're always there. And I'm very glad that we were finally able to do this.
Oh, yes. Me too. And you have a great day. And you know the deal. Tell my buddy hello.
Will do. He says hi too. I'm sorry
right.
He's not here, but
yeah.
All right.
You guys have a great day, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks again. Bye bye.
All right. Bye. All right, and that was Romina Schwedler talking about The Visit. Still out there on the festival, Big Apple Film Festival, Orlando. Take a listen to the episode again. Tell your friends, put it on Facebook, share it. That's going to do it for us. We've had a great time. We always love doing this. It is our favorite thing. We'll be back tomorrow with some San Diego Film Festival. We'll wrap up the week with the Vancouver International Film Festival. And then next week, we have a couple of special films before they're released. Also, some films that are on Netflix where we'll be getting some special interviews. And the 18th, a week from today, you are going to get episode 250. Yes, episode 250. Thank you to everyone. Pictures, writer, producer, film director Quincy Rose from New York. Get on Amazon, watch his films, Miles to Go and Friends, Effing Friends, Effing Friends. Again, Miles to Go and Friends, Effing Friends, Effing Friends. Free on Prime. Make sure you check him out because you are going to get a full director's profile, not just a promo episode where Quincy's going to take the time to sit down with us. So you're going to want to see these films so you can watch a film and know about this great indie director Prehan. Again, thank you, Catalina Film Festival, Jennifer, JP, Samara, Ashley, but I think I was always calling her Lauren, all the staff who made a great festival and a great time. We appreciate it. And aloha to everyone. Most of all, spread some peace in this crazy world.